at first, it's always a composition to me. It's really, to me, a composition. So I'm looking at a place, at a structure, observing it and looking what is passing by. Looking what is passing by, and suddenly there was that woman there in the middle with that little boy, and I was fixing at it, and he was looking at me, and click. Very, very simple, very simple.
This photography podcast is brought to you by Frames, quarterly printed photography magazine. Here is your today's host, W. Scott Olsen, with another fascinating conversation.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another podcast from Frames Magazine. My name is Scott Olsen, and today, folks, we are talking about something that I find absolutely beautiful and completely mysterious at the same time. And that is the world of portrait photography and fashion photography and a kind of compositional eye that is filled with art and mystery and joy. We're talking with Yasmin Azouz, who is over in Paris and one of the very best at doing this kind of work. Her work has been all over the place in magazines, and I'm really thrilled for this conversation. Yasmin, how are you doing today? How's life over in Paris?
I'm doing very fine. Thank you very much. I'm very, very happy to be here. Thank you very much, Frame Magazine and Scott and all.
Well, we are happy to have you. My work is all sort of responsive to the environment, street work, environmental, journalism, that kind of stuff. The ability to intentionally compose a shot for me always winds up with something a little bit strange or a little bit, not successful. And yet you've got a really, really strong artistic voice, I think. Reading your material, this is something that you've been developing your entire life. You talk about being a little kid and your mother was a model, worked for pictorial, your dad was a painter. Tell me how images, but then more specifically the camera, came into your life.
It came in my life because I grew up in Paris, starting 1 year old, and As I wrote, my mother started then to work in a today still existing professional photo laboratory, which is called Picto today. And so I grew up within all the major photographers, a little girl in the fields between the negatives. And at home, my father is a painter. He loved photography and filming. So we had a Rolleiflex, which I still have.
The same one?
The same one, yeah, the same one. The same one, fantastic, fantastic camera. It's a medium format. And all my children's photos were medium format, so I have a lot of souvenirs from when I was a kid. And I was always very impressed that a little tool, a camera, which makes click-click, allows us to take a mood, a scene, a souvenir, whatever. So I really, really adored upfront cameras and making click-clicks. So I'm still using the word click-clicks. But I haven't done it my entire life. I haven't done it in my life. So I had major interruptions and didn't know when I was younger that that is really what is in me, photography. I didn't know this. So I didn't know this, and I studied later on psychology and psychoanalysis, so this is what I learned. And so I had major times not photographing at all, and I restarted two years ago, and by moving on to digital. Analog to digital. So I haven't photographing all my life, not at all, unfortunately. But this is the way it happened.
Ted, you just made me think of something really intriguing here. What is the relationship between psychology and photography? You know, both are trying to expose something a little bit under the surface, no?
Well, it helps a lot. Even if I haven't made my profession out of my studies, it wasn't for me. I always been very interested in humans and in psychology. I don't know why. And it's very helpful when doing portraits. I was in the past doing, you know, free of charge, women who have been bitten. And by their husbands, to make them pose, to help them to find back an image, a self-confidence. So psychology helps a lot to listening to person, to make them feel comfortable. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting. So there's no link. There is no link. But it's observing, looking, and looking for, I'm using very often the word of authenticity.
Okay, authenticity, yeah.
Of authenticity, and, but otherwise I don't see a real link. I mean, everybody is making pictures, everybody became a photographer. So there's no link at all. There's no link at all. Besides that, it can be very helpful to use it in case when it's necessary, for instance, with women who have been bitten, so which is social photography.
You know, you said somewhere, somebody asked you what you thought the main problem with photography was these days, and you brought up the fact that everybody's got a camera now, that there's something less than perfect about every cell phone and you know, having a camera and everyone being a photographer. Why is that?
Well, with the digital, a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have changed with the smartphones. Once we had the smartphone, which I was working in high technology long ago, so I'm very close to high technology. So I was, you know, fascinating that, we have tools which allows us to make souvenirs, photos. So it's great. It's great, but it's a problem. It's a problem also on the other side because... But it's also the same with other jobs. Everybody wants to be a photographer, but the same with art, with writing, with being a coach or a therapist. So today, at least in France, a lot of things has been changed. People can access more in artistic ways or express more themselves. So this is great, but it's still a problem. What I wrote is that I don't like the actual digital mentality. What I mean with this is I have nothing against the fact that a person will build a final picture using thousands of shots to build it up with Photoshop, whatever. The result is important, I agree. But on the other hand, it's very sad to figure out that no one knows at all the history of analog photography. The work, it could be the cost, it could be that, really the work. And today it sounds so easy. I see so many people who making so easily pictures and we touch them. I'm lost with it. So because I'm older and I didn't have good teachers for Lightroom and Photoshop, and I still want only to do one thing is right away bio shooting and not to have to spend time on the computer developing, etc.
But did you spend hours in the darkroom, the same number of hours that you would at a computer?
No, I did it, of course, when I was young. Or sometimes, but never, no. We brought in the evenings always all our films to the lab with our instruction. Next day, we went to pick them up. Today, I wanted to try to find an assistant, you know, a person, a student in photography who would love to learn analog and the sensibility to image or how to learn how to make street photography. But you can't find anyone. They all want to be upfront paid. So kind of exchange, it's impossible today. This is my personal experience. This is my personal experience. No, I'm not spending, and I don't want to spend day shooting and a night in front of the computer. But unfortunately, I have a little bit to do like that. But I choose a camera where I can really do as much as I wish on the shooting and not afterwards on Photoshop or whatever.
But your pictures are not simple pictures. You have a lot of double images. You have a lot of, you know, effects.
I adore this. I adore multi-exposures. I adore this.
But okay, but you can't do that in camera. You've got to spend some time in the dark room or at the computer to get this stuff the way that you have it, which is elegant and beautiful.
No, it's a lab. It's on the negative. My double exposures, my analog double exposures, was on the film. You do it on one film, you just go back, you just have to know really technically what you want, how. So you have to be quite good if you want to make good double exposures, which means to you something. But at the end, it's only the lab. It's like a regular picture photo on a negative. And with a digital, a lot of persons said to me, well, it's easy. I do everything on Photoshop. I do it with my camera. But I'm not yet satisfied with my multi-exposures. Lens Culture told me once, they said to me, you should really do, again, a great series with multi-exposures than a digital. But you need to be inspired. You have the right story, the right model. So, and really being, you know, being easy going on the camera. I don't have it yet.
Well, okay, now walk me through one of your images here, because I'm looking at this right now. It's on, you know, your portfolio, and it's a woman kneeling on one knee. She's got her arm up at shoulder length, and there's another face superimposed on top of her. Do you know which picture I'm talking about?
Okay. With a hand in front of the face, double exposure. This is a fashion series, which is against the wheel of fewer. And she is wearing from a fashion designer a gray dress, but with fur on it. And that picture is part of a story which is against the wheel of fur. So you have a face where one eye is open, looking at the eye on the fur on the dress. Only I know what is a series about, you know, nobody else. And then you have your hand and her back and her head back, like a rejection of the viewer. So this is the sense of the photo.
But how much of this did you have in your head before you took these images?
Oh, I had it exactly in my head before. I know exactly before what I wanted to
really
see. Yeah. Otherwise, it's not possible. Otherwise, it takes too much time. So I know exactly what I wanted to do. So I always had serious. A fashion series, even if the fashion, the clothes are not that important to me, but the story, the expression, what I want to express. So I knew always exactly before what I wanted to do. And then, you know, I'm telling the models, and then they don't have to move because I have to move their face, the hand, a millimeter, don't move. So they don't know what I have in my head besides the story and what I'm going to do.
So with this image in particular, the double exposure, the use of tone, the use of color, light and dark, all that was in your head before you pressed the shutter release?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
That is completely impressive.
Absolutely. No, everything is, usually I worked everything before out for my double exposures because it takes time. It takes some time. So, you know, you need a little bit time to really have what you want. You have the right expression, at least what inspires me. So I had everything before written, what I always storyboard.
Okay.
Always before I had storyboard. I don't have this anymore for the time because I'm not doing double exposures.
But now, I had not thought of doing storyboards for complicated compositions before. That's a magnificent idea.
Yeah, no, always storyboard, yeah.
Okay. You have a variety of approaches to your portraits. Some are soft focus, some are black and white, some are color, some are. Is there a particular voice? Is there a particular style that we can say is your voice?
Well, all my photos are kind of always melancholic or sad and serious. Even very serious, I have serious things I call heaven, which are very positive, but it looks always very melancholic, very serious and sad. It's because I like it. It always have a better impression. I don't know. I like it. I like it. Even if I'm doing also the opposite, all the models have to laugh out loud, etc., you know, but I have always a lot of serious stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking at your Instagram page, and there's a lot of people laughing.
Absolutely.
Over here.
Absolutely. I adore. I'm very joyful. Everything. So I'm the opposite of what the lot of pictures are expressing, you know, very serious, melancholic, dark. I love it. I don't know why it's that way.
Do you have a preference between black? I mean, you do both, but do you have a preference between black and white and color?
No. I don't have a preference. If I have to choose, in case I have nothing else, I would take black and white because we all know with black and white, we color always arrange something, but I adore as much also color. So I'm really 50-50. So it depends on the mood. I adore color. I adore color as well, as much as black and white. Now in digital, I'm not doing a lot of black and white because I never get a nice black and white. It looks always awful. So I'm not at the point.
Really?
Yeah. With my camera, I don't know why. I'm not at the point that I like the black and white. So I'm testing a lot, but I'm never satisfied. The really good black and white, I don't get it. I don't get it yet.
Well, okay, no, I find that really curious. What is it that is the difference for you, you know, between black and white in analog and black and white in digital? Is it just the way that the files are coming out? Is it tone? Is it grain? Is it what?
I don't know. When I prefer always the black and white I have in analog. I prefer them analog. I don't know. It looks better. Even if I have prints who aren't of very, very good quality, I would prefer the black and white I had in analog from the lab, from professional labs, than my black and white photos in digital. So I have to find out how to get it better, but I haven't yet. I'm not satisfied at all with digital black and white from my point of view and only with my camera. So, and again, I adore color very much. I love both.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you about color here because I'm looking at one of your shots and this is a woman with long hair and a child in a yellow raincoat walking down the street. There's a couple of parking barriers, I believe. There's some kind of...
Okay. Photo. Yeah, in Paris, yeah.
Tell me the story of that photo, and then I have a couple of questions.
The story of the photo is very, very, very easy. I'm walking a lot in the streets. I'm not very inspired in Paris. I'm not very inspired. No, really.
I think half the planet just disagreed with you there, but
yeah,
okay.
Probably. But I'm not very inspired. The story is nothing else than seeing that black woman passing by, so probably Nunu, who is taking care of the small boy. And I like the decor, you know, industrial behind. And that boy looking at me, you know, on the hand behind. I adore that photo. I adore it.
Let's take just a quick break. We hope very much that you are enjoying today's episode. The very fact that you are listening to this podcast suggests that photography means a lot to you. And if that's the case, you might want to have a look at Frames, quarterly printed photography magazine. We truly believe that excellent photography belongs on paper. Visit readframes.com to find out more about our publication. And now, back to today's conversation.
Well, there is so many good things happening in this picture. If you look at the color of his shoes versus, or in comparison to the color of her hat, in comparison to the colors in the far distance to the right. If you look at the green top of the bin and you compare that to the green tone elsewhere in the image, there's just all sorts of things going on here. That little bit of dissonance with the orange cone in the background. When you saw this picture about to happen, was it the color that was first in your mind, or was it the relationship between the people and kind of the structures of them between those two posts?
At first, it's always a composition to me. It's really, to me, a composition. So I'm looking at a place, at a structure, observing it and looking what is passing by. Looking what is passing by, and suddenly there was that woman there in the middle with that little boy, and I was fixing at it, and he was looking at me, and click. Very, very simple, very simple. But what is going inside of a photographer when he's shooting, there's so many things. There is a big photographer I really like a lot with whom I had the best photographic conversation. His name is Vincent Peters. He is very famous. He's doing a lot of stars today in black and white. And in an interview, he is saying in every given photo, we are bringing all of us, our thoughts, the film, our past, our culture, our mood, our taste. So it's always very personal what we can feel. But that little boy with the hand behind and looking at me, the woman didn't know at all the scene. She didn't saw me, nothing. It was a nice moment. So it's a click, click. I'm doing all my street photos. I don't look at them for months.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm training a lot with my camera. So very often I'm going home, just saving the photos, but not looking at them because most of them are not interesting to me. months later that I really look at them, and sometimes I'm satisfied with the photo. But all the photos in digital, my street photos, which I eventually publish, I always write down not developed yet. Today, nobody knows that the photo needs to be developed. They don't call it today like this. They say retouched.
Right.
Developed means, you know, more contrast or less contrast, more light, whatever, saturation. And so all the photos are pure from my camera and not retouched or, you know, so they could be better. They could look better. That's why I always write down not developed yet.
Yeah. Tell me the story of the young boy sitting in a kind of blue striped outfit right at the water's edge.
Oh, yeah. This is very recent. This was in my vacation, so very recently. On the beach, yeah, I see that picture. I adore that series. I adore that photos. Just on the beach. And, That little boy was sitting there, and so I have a lot of that little boy.
Well, again, just thinking of the colors here, you have not only, you know, his reddish hair and the bluish of the outfit, which then gets into the water tones, but you have that lovely counterpoint of the bathers way in the distance, with the other colors there. So really what I'm leading up to is when you're thinking, oh, this is a good composition, how much of that is based on color versus structure?
None.
Really?
None. No, only the composition, not the colors. Of course, if I have major colors somewhere, a composition where suddenly I see, you know, like that little girl, that little boy with his yellow raincoat versus a gray behind and the black woman. So this is a color point. But besides this, and these photos of Touville on the sea, they have been a little bit modified from the colors. So I have saturated them a little bit from the colors.
Okay. You have been the subject of photography as well as the photographer. But you say that's not really for you. Why?
I've been, several times in front of professional photographers or playing in a film, whatever. This is not for me. Yes, I've been several times in newspapers or whatever, but not as a model. That's not for me. So I'm not a photo. I had never been a photo model. I was in important magazines by good photographers. But this is only was occasionally. So that's it. So I know what it is to be in front of a photographer and a professional photographer and to be able to put the ego on the side and to react and to bring him what he would like. You know, look like this, do like that, patati patata. Not a problem.
When you are doing portraits, are you more interested in expressing your vision or drawing out something from your subject that is true about their heart and soul?
Both. But the first thing which is important to me is really that I get something out from the subject. Getting out something from the subject who is posing depends on the person. I've shot a lot of models and still do. Or again do, so this is a little bit different. But until a person is really natural in front of the camera, feels, forgets objective, so you have to interest yourself to a person. So it's quite interesting. So it's really the authenticity of the person. And then I work on the expression, on various expression. No, it's in general really the person. I want them to be able to have a portrait which I still like 10 years later and still recognize themselves. So it depends on the persons. Some of them are really, really, relaxed in front of the camera. Other people, you need more time, more exercises like playing with the faces, exaggerating expressions, laughing a lot. So it's work.
Okay. I'm looking, again, one of your images, and this is a woman with a really large white collar to whatever top she's wearing. It's a double exposure, and in the main or the larger of the two, she's sort of looking up out of the frame. In the smaller one, which is actually in the foreground, her chin's down a little bit. She's sort of looking. This is in the Inspired Eye interview.
Our last picture. This is also a fashion series which is called School. This is one of my favorite fashion short series I did, and this is a series called School. So this is a double exposure about the fact, I have to go to school. I don't like to go to school, but I have to go to school. The face up to the sky, you know, dreaming about something else in school. So this is a series called School.
So when I look at this picture, though, am I learning more about her or about you?
You're not learning anything about her as well as about me. It's really just, it's about French school. It's about the school in France and also in other countries, which became very, very, very bad. They wanted that way. Yeah, books written about it. They wanted to build up 90% of consumers. So the times in France are very, very long for school. I went to school in Paris until I was 11, and then I moved to Germany. And I lived in Hamburg until the end of my studies, and I went in Germany to school. It was a dream compared to France. And from all I've learned, so it's not easy school, and not very motivating, and not very enthusiastic, and very competitive here in France. So this is a theory about the French school.
Okay, but it is then your point of view about the schools.
It's my point of view about the schools, yeah.
Okay, so we are learning your attitude and your take on it all.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you a technical question here. I was intrigued to learn that for portraits, you use a macro lens. Why is that?
Because it's really great. I have even my Photoshop where I bought now all the digital stuff. When I asked, what can I use instead of my favorite objective I had in analog, which I can still use, it's great. I just adore the 105-28 Magro from Nikkor. It's a fantastic objective. So there wasn't reason for it. I had it. I used it. I loved it. I kept it. The shop asked me, how are you doing with when you're photographing something else and models, you know, old person. I said, you see more. That's it. That's the only thing. You see more. But even with a macro, I always make them look beautiful. At least I try.
Yes, there is all sorts of evidence of beauty all through your shots. Even, you know, the more darker or moody ones are...
The moody ones. I love those moody ones, yeah.
Oh, so do I. I
love them.
Do you find a disconnect between your own approach when you're doing portraits or when you're doing street work?
No. I love street photography. I love it, looking around, but taking photos here. But here in Paris, they're all right away really aggressive. And nobody knows the law here. It means I can photograph whatever I want on the public space as long as I do not attend the dignity of a person. But here up front, I want to take... I know a lot of photographers who don't do any more in Paris street photography. They give it up.
Because why?
Because of the attitude of people. Because Bruce Gilden from Magnum Photo, you know, he's doing very close up, very aggressive in the New York streets, you know. I mean, here it's just impossible. So I'm doing a lot of street photographies, but there isn't much I really like. So it takes time until I'm inspired here in Paris. It takes time. I don't know why. Everybody says, oh, the Eiffel Tower or the sun, but I'm not shooting the Eiffel Tower or the sun or the bridge or the Louvre. I'm doing human beings. Yeah. I'm doing a lot of metros.
Have you ever tried landscape photography?
Oh, I'm doing a lot of landscapes also. I'm doing landscape. I love landscape. It's not for me. I need human beings. I like this, but I could shot thousands of landscapes just, you know, because I like the composition, because I like the landscape, but then it's somewhere and I don't look at it. So I'm not a landscape photographer at all. I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock because I want to see the sun and the mountain. But I could do it. But this is not for me. But I'm doing without any problems landscape.
Very cool. Tell me what you're working on now.
I'm working on two things. I have since a couple of years, I have a leitmotif here in Paris, which is called Some Glamour in the Streets. A little bit of glamour, more glamour in the streets. We are in Paris, capital of fashion. The people are never smiling. All the people are dressed in black. And whenever I see a man, a woman, something with an attitude, with a kind of elegance, nothing to do with fashion, then I talk to the persons and I shoot them a street saying to them, this is part of a series called Some Glamour in the Streets. So I have very simple photos, which I want to do more and more, is really a person which I see on the streets, to call them up, and they are turning to me, they are laughing, making a big smile, whatever, And this is then out of my theory, some glamour in the streets. And this is only for Paris. But it's nothing pose. It's really, I meet somebody in the street. I see something where I see an attitude, an elegance, something which, and I always say to the person, stay straight, walk with a smile, and stop being all really so aggressive here in Paris.
You know, I got to see these pictures. This sounds absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Sometimes it's really, really funny. It's very interesting because I meet always a lot of persons. It's a lot of waste of time for me because, you know, so this and that, and everybody wants me to send them afterwards the photos. And I always say, yeah, I look at them a few months later. I take my time. Maybe because also of that, everybody wants very quick all the photos. On the next day, everybody wants always a photo. I take my time.
A very small question, but I know a lot of people, you know, have told me they're intrigued by street photography. They really want to do it, but they're afraid of that initial stopping somebody else and saying, I'm a photographer. I'd love to take your picture. You know, because for all you know, they think that you're a crazy person or you're going to, you know, pick their pockets or something. How do you approach a stranger, just that first greeting, and say, you are dressed beautifully. I'd love to take your picture.
No, I never do this. I do this when I really see a woman or a man in with some glamour in the streets, and it's different. I have a few, I think, on the Instagram. You know, girls turning back the head and smiling at me, and this is part of some glamour. Otherwise, I never talk to a person, never. I shoot. And a lot of persons, I'm a portraitist at the base. So taking photos of a human being in front of me, it's not a problem. I can go straight to you in front and make a photo, not asking, not talking, and going to the next.
But when for the fashion in the streets, when you do stop somebody, how do you greet them? Just that first hello.
Oh, I'm very enthusiastic. Hey, hello, blah, 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 click, click. I don't know. Don't ask me. It's enthusiastic spontaneity. Hello. I'm then enthusiastic. You look great. Patati patata. And it always turns really nice. So this is not an issue to me to ask a person. But otherwise, I never do it because your photo is lost. You don't have the photo what you have seen. So there are lots of persons asking me, can you teach me how to approach people? A lot of persons asking me. So this is, I see a lot in street photographies, always very far. And I remember I've published a portrait, which is also on my Instagram, which I adore. A man sitting in a restaurant looking at papers. It's a really great candidate. I never talked to that man. And I see that photo regularly refused because of, okay, you shot a portrait of a person in the street and nobody wants them to publish it. On the other hand, first of all, I always publish most of the time, if I get published, long after. So, you know, there's never something bad or something, you know, deranging for the person. So, but it's not a problem to me at all to go in the streets and to shoot people, not at all. If I would ask for a beside, when there's something which goes in some glam in the streets, I want to know a little bit the person. I want them to know that, you know, that I see them in that series, some glam in the streets. Otherwise, never. People ask me, why don't you ask before? I say the photo is an out. If I talk to you and then you smile at me, just forget it. I went already to another composition. I've seen something else. It goes very quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is every single bit of it, beautiful and moody and evocative and compelling pictures. I am a great fan of your street work and your portraits, the color and the black and white. This is fantastic.
I'm very
stuff.
Happy. Thank you very much, Scott.
Okay, Yasmin, this has been a great conversation. Thank you very much for joining us today.
I thank you very much, and Frame Magazine. I wish you all the best.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Frames. Because excellent photography belongs on paper. Visit us at www.readframes.com.